the 2018 Uber-sponsored CCB Conference and Convention Banquet is now happening. You know, I have to say, all the years that I've been a member of CCB, you know what a ham I am, and you know, I don't speak very loudly, and I don't, you know, speak out. Every time they'd talk about, you know, who's going to MC, I'd say, pick me, pick me, pick me, pick me. You know what? I finally picked me. So nobody else had picked me. I picked me. So we are going to begin by asking our host chapter president, and haven't Capital Chapter done a fabulous job in the hospitality? So Karen is going to introduce the person who will give our invocation for the evening. So could we please have respectful silence? Yeah, you're next to me.
Yes, I am.
Okay. Did I mention get
no,
Karen
it's not.
Mike?
There he goes. Okay. Good evening, everybody.
Hey.
I would like to introduce the individual who's going to do the invocation this evening. His name is Rick Tinsley, and he is a deacon at Bible Fellowship Baptist Church. Please bow your heads.
Okay, let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day, and we thank you for the rain that you've given our beautiful state. And we ask, Lord, that you'd also bless the California Council of the Blind. And we thank you for this convention and all those who have made it possible. I thank you for your son and his sacrificial death for all those who trust him and his resurrection, which we're commemorating next week. We pray that the seeds that were planted at the Capitol yesterday will become a fruit that enriches the lives of the blind community. I pray that you would bless the night and bless the food, bless those that are serving tonight. In Jesus' precious name, we ask. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Yes. People who don't have tickets need to buy them. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to put your ticket in front of your plate, and if you do not have a ticket, you do not get a meal. Where's my purse? Seriously. We have more people than apparently have paid for tickets. So if you do not have your tickets, we will not serve you. Except for you.
Yes, ma'am. I appreciate you, ma'am.
Yes. Yes. And what about the scholarship people need to move to the front table. You are up next. And John Mavis, I'm going to be introducing Christy in a minute, and then she's going to have you, the scholarship people, on. You know, ladies and gentlemen, can I have your attention? By the way, hello, ACB Radio. We are streaming live. And so I forgot to tell Dan Kaiser what our agenda was, but so I'm sure Dan is just winging it back there. Sorry, Dan. That's the way it is. So how many times have you ever gone to a restaurant and said, I wish I had the guts to order dessert first?
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? Tonight, since I'm the MC, I'm giving you dessert first. That means, yay! That means after we do a couple of awards, we are going to have all our entertainment first. First! Then you have to be on your honor to stay for the awards. Yay, awards! I love awards. We are giving more awards tonight than we've given in years. Yay, awards. Then the part of the evening our treasurer Peter loves best, people will say whether that they're going to give some money to the CCB from their chapters. Woohoo! Then we're going to have a couple of raffles and stuff. So don't you, and we're going to have a little mini auction. We're going to see how good Tommy Edison really is. And he's going to help us with a little bit of an auction. So that's all coming up. But seriously, ladies and gentlemen, right now, I want to introduce the amazingly hardworking chair of our scholarship committee, Christy Cressman. Let's give Christy. And though we won't name them all, the 8 members of her committee who work hard to deal with these scholarships, a big hand. One more. And Vivian Younger, if you're in the room, you're up next. Go ahead, Christy.
Hello?
Oh, there you go.
Here I am. All right. Thank you, everyone. I want to personally thank
Let's have quiet.
The following committee members.
I have it, Peter.
I would like to thank Rob Turner, Robert Wendt, Nellie Emerson, Leslie Tom, Steve Fort, Linda Perrell, and I'm missing one. Who am I missing?
Guillermo.
Oh, Guillermo Robles. And it is a very wonderful task that we have. Every year, we have to choose between some wonderful people who are our students. And I just want to put a plug in that the scholarship application is on ccbnet.org, and it is open until May 15th, but you have to have a lot of other paperwork in. So those of you who are going to school and live in California, you don't need to go to school in California. You just need to have residence in California. Then please apply. So tonight we have... Tonight we have 3 of our 6 scholarship winners present. And I want to also recognize John Mavis from the Active Blind Incorporated. And I would like everyone to please give John a hand because he's representing the Active Blind Active Blind Inc. He's been a member of CCB for 60 years. He knew Tony Menino, who was president of CCB. So their organization faithfully gives us funds every year. They grant us $10,000, and of course my Braille note is acting up. No, it doesn't need to be plugged in, it's just acting up. I have to reboot it. So Unfortunately, while it's rebooting, yeah, I know. I'm a lowly state worker. I can't afford it. So, one of the things that I really appreciate is getting to know our scholarship winners and getting to know them through our interview process. Because after we have the applications, then we meet together and we team up two persons per team, and we hold interviews. Then after we hold interviews, each team presents its scholarship applicants to the committee, and we get the chance to really learn about our leaders of the future. I'm almost there.
We need to kind of move it along.
I know. Okay, so the six people who are scholarship winners this school year 17/18 are Mia P. Carius, attending CSU Fresno. She is working toward her master's degree in clinical rehabilitation counseling and mental health counseling. Her goal is to become a clinical rehabilitation counselor and mental health counselor for the disabled community. She has received her BA degree in social work and an AA degree in social sciences. Our second winner is Ching Shang, who has a goal of becoming an assistive technology instructor. He also would like to work as a VI teacher or as a vocational rehabilitation counselor. He is a freshman at Clovis Community College and hopefully is getting involved with the Fresno chapter, I guess, and would eventually like to transfer to CSU Fresno. Our third scholarship winner is here. Rostam Dadian is attending CSU Los Angeles, where he has transferred from Glendale Community College, where he received an associate degree majoring in business administration. He is involved in freelance web design and computer maintenance and has a vast knowledge of computers and how they function. He has a website in which he runs fun and interesting sports and entertainment articles, which he would like to expand in the future. Rostam Dadian. He is. Rostam, are you? Raise your hand so they can bring a mic to you, please. Okay. Number Yeah, he was. Maybe he stepped out. Chad Duchelle is attending CSU San Bernardino as a transfer student, pursuing a bachelor's degree in administration, human resources, management. He attended Mount San Jacinto College, Grossmont College, Palomar College, where he received an Associate of Arts degree in General Studies, and Moreno Valley College, where he received an Associate of Science degree in Business Administration. He has worked full-time while attending classes. He began working overnights in the hospitality industry when he began losing his sight, compounding a prior disability. His goal is to continue in hotel management. Our fifth winner, is Adrian N. Hermosillo, attending Crafton Hills College, majoring in business administration. Do we hear a theme here? With a goal of transferring to CSU San Bernardino to earn a bachelor's degree in business and to minor in Spanish. He has a love of people and creativity and would like to learn how to effectively manage teams and organizational behavior. His goal is to become part of a nonprofit organization that would allow him to align his passion and learned skills while contributing effectively to the organization's vision and values. Sounds like we can use you right here, Adrian. He would like to work with an organization that empowers others to pursue their dreams. Adrian understands the fundraising and marketing are critical to critical for organizational growth and hopes to utilize his leadership skills to make a difference internally and externally. Adrian, would you please stand and they can hand you the mic?
I just wanted to say thank you for everyone being here. It's a great thing to have everyone together and, you know, come together and, you know, just work as a team for a common goal and, you know, helping the whole, like, low vision and blind community. I think that's great. And I'm very grateful for the scholarship and for the scholarship board to, you know, have me here.
Thank you. And last but not least, Larice N. Diamond, prior ACB leadership participant and ACB scholarship and CCB scholarship winner. A lover of rhetoric, she is attending San Diego State University, working toward a bachelor's degree, Larice? Did you? Yeah. A bachelor's degree in communication. She has double minors in sociology and honors interdisciplinary studies. She received an associate degree in communication studies. She is
communication. communication. That's communication.
Hello. Hello. She attended Southwestern College, Community College of Denver, and Regis University. She had planned to work as a performing artist, dancing, singing, and adding 10 musical instruments to her repertoire. However, life handed her a different set of cards. To become a nurse, a mother and wife, she has high energy, is active in CCB membership and ACB, CCLVI, and more. And today she joined the CCB Students Board.
Right.
Yep. Her next goal is to pursue a graduate degree in communications. Larice, please stand so that you can get the mic.
Oh, Christy, you didn't tell me I was going to have to say anything tonight. But, you know, as a communication scholar, I always have some words available. Mm-hmm. And so I take this opportunity to first thank you for being my mentor this past year. It's been wonderful working with you, and it's really inspired me to become more involved in CCB.
Yeah.
I also want to thank Mr. John Mavis for always coming forward with the money that helps support so many students as we journey on to make our dreams come true. So thank you, Mr. Mavis.
So again, congratulations to our scholarship winners.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lee. That's so wonderful. So who wants dessert? Woohoo! It is my amazing pleasure to introduce to you the Sacramento Banjo Band. There are apparently 15 members of this band here, and I'm going to turn it over to them, and I'm hoping they'll tell you more about who they are and what they do, and we're going to have some fabulous music.
That's another fun one, so thank you for joining us in that. I'm going to ask one of our fine washboard players, Bev Anderson, to come up now and sing a song for us called Darkness on the Delta. This song was written in 1932, and I suspect it was about a different delta, but we've got our own delta right here in Sacramento and could just as well be right here. And so here we are, Bev Anderson.
On the Delta, that's the time my heart is light. When it's darkness on the Delta, let me linger in the shelter of the night. Fields of cotton all around me, they're all singing sweet and low. Lord, I'm lucky that you found me where the muddy Mississippi waters flow. Lounging on the levee, listening to the nightingale up above. Laughter on the levee, no one's heart is heavy. All God's children got someone to love when it's darkness. On the Delta, only heaven is in. sight. When it's darkness on the delta, let me linger in the shelter of the night. Lounging on the levee, listening to the nightingale up above. Laughter on the levee, no one's heart is heavy. All God's children got someone to love. When it's darkness on the delta, only heaven is in sight. When it's darkness on the delta, let me linger in the shelter of the night.
Thank you, thank you. Well, back we're all the way to 1927 when this song was written. It's called At Sundown. Thank you. I'm going to bring John Green back up here again and sing a little number also from 1927. This one's called Columbus Stockade Blues.
All the way down in Columbus, Georgia, I'd rather be back in Tennessee, way down and Columbus Stockade, where she turned her back on me. You can go away and leave me if you wish to. Never let me cross your mind. But if in your heart you love another, believe me, darling, I don't mind. Last night, as I lay sleeping, I dreamed I held you in my arms. But when I woke, I was mistaken. I was peeping through the bars. Oh, you can go away and leave me if you wish to. Never let me cross your mind. But if in your heart you love another, believe me, darling, I don't mind.
Thank you, John. Well, I promised you that we would do a little number featuring the washboards. So we're going to do a little Coney Island washboard rondelay now, and we'll have the washboards join us, and Bev will sing the first verse.
Coney Island washboard, she would play. You'll find her on the boardwalk every day. Soap suds all around, bubbles on the ground. Rub-a-dub-a-dub in her little tub, all the tunes she found. Cymbals on her fingers made the noise. She'd play Charleston with the laundry for the boys. She could rag a tune right through the knees of a brand new pair of BBDs with a Coney Island washboard rondelay. On a Coney Island washboard she would play. You'll find her on the boardwalk every day. Soap suds all around, bubbles on the ground. Rub-a-dub-a-dub in her little tub, all the tunes she found. Cymbals on her fingers made the noise. She'd play Charleston with the laundry for the boys. She could drag a tune right through the knees of a brand new pair of BBDs with a Coney Island washboard rondelay. With a Coney Island washboard rondelay. One, two, one, two, three, four. With a Coney Island washboard rondelay.
All right, that's fun, isn't it? All right, well, moving on back a couple of years to 1925 and a song called Angry.
Angry, please don't be angry, 'cause I was only teasing you. I wouldn't even let you think of leaving. Don't you know I love you true? Just because I took a look at somebody else, that's no reason you should put for me on the shelf. Angry, please don't be angry, 'cause I was only teasing you. Angry, please don't be angry, 'cause I was only teasing you. I wouldn't even let you think of leaving. Don't you know I love you too? Just because I took a look at somebody else, that's no reason you should put poor me on the shelf. Angry, please don't be angry, 'cause I was only teasing you. I didn't mean it, I was only teasing you.
Thank you. So how many of you remember the Charleston? Anybody here remember the Charleston? How many of you have done the Charleston? That's what I thought. Okay, well, we're going to do three little Charleston numbers for you right now. We're going to start with 5'2", and that leads into Ain't She Sweet, and finally, Yes, Sir, That's My Baby. Here we go for some Charleston numbers. Thank you. Thank you. Well, I'd like to take a minute now to introduce the members of the band. Here you go, Pat. That's Ben right next to you. And John. John, I want you to meet Dave. Oh, all right. They know each other. All right. So, you know, I said we're the Sacramento Banjo Band, and we have an event coming up. If you like this music that we're playing today, you will love our Banjorama. It's coming up here on April 6th, 7th, and 8th. It's going to be at the Marriott Hotel, a different Marriott Hotel. This is the one down by Cal Expo. It's the Courtyard Marriott in Sacramento. We're going to have four fabulous shows, one Friday night, two on Saturday, and one on Sunday afternoon. Plus, lots of we'll have a whole room full of some ragtime honky-tonk piano players and ragtiming and playing some banjos, jamming along. It's going to be a great time. And if you like this music, please come and take a look. You can find us on banjorama.com. That's banjo-rama.com. And for more information.
Yes, you can.
So, now, this evening, what's that? Yes, you can get tickets ahead of time if you go on our website or talk to somebody here after the show, and we'll help to line you up, all right? So, also, if you like our music, we happen to have some CDs here that we've made for the band. And you can take us home with you if you like. They're one for $15, two for $25, or three for $30. That's your best deal. So think about that. If you'd like, come up and see one of us after the show. So we'd like to move along now with a sweet little number also from 1925 called Sweet Georgia Brown. Sweet Georgia Brown. Well, around about that same time of the century, our state song? It's not. Oh, okay. Well, we have a song called California, Here I Come, which we'd love to sing, and we're going to bring Bev up to sing it for you, too.
Where I started from, where bowers of flowers bloom in the sun. Each morning at dawn and birdies singing everything the sun kissed. Miss says, don't be late. That's why I can hardly wait. Open up your golden gate, California, here I come. California, here I come, right back where I started from, where bowers of flowers bloom in the sun. Each morning at dawn and birdies sing and everything the sun kissed, miss says, don't be late. That's why I can hardly wait. Open up your golden gate, California, here I come.
Thank you, thank you. That's Bev Anderson singing for you. Well, we like to do a few jazz numbers, and one of them we like is called Just a Little While to Stay Here. We're going to pick that up for you. Okay, there we go. Well, also back in 1920 was written a little song called Margie, My Little Margie.
Oh, we have a Margie. Thank you.
Thank you, my little Margie. So there was at one time a wonderful banjo player by the name of Eddie Peabody. Does anybody remember Eddie Peabody? You know who that is, yeah. Well, he made this song famous. It's called The World is Waiting for the Sunshine. And we're going to do it for you, Eddie Peabody style. All right, thank you. Well, John Green here hails from the fine state of Alabama, and we love to hear him sing his favorite state song called Alabama Jubilee.
Gang's all here at that Alabama Jubilee. You ought to see Deacon Jones when he rattles them bones. Old Parson Brown dancing round like a clown. Old Aunt Jemima, who'd passed 83, shouting, "Not for the pimp, watch my step, watch my step." A one-legged Joe dancing round on his toes. Throwed away his crutch and hollered, "Hey, let her go, my honey, hail." Hey, hail the gangs all year at that Alabama Jubilee. Thank you. You ought to see Deacon Jones when he rattles them bones. Old Parson Brown dancing round like a clown. Old Aunt Jemima, who passed 83, shouting, I'm full of pep, watch my step, watch my step. One leg at Joe dancing round on his toe. Throwed away his crutch and hollered, hey, let her go, my honey, hail. Hail the gang's all here at that Alabama Jubilee, that Alabama Jubilee, that Alabama Jubilee. Oh, pass out the cornbread and beans, please.
Thank you, Mr. Green. Well, one of the things we love to play is those old riverboat numbers. When we were playing for the Sacramento Music Festival and Jazz Jubilee, we used to like to go down to the Delta King there and play in the paddle wheel room. Reminded us of some of these numbers. So we're going to do one now called Waiting for the Robert E. Lee. Thank you. That's Waiting on the Robert E. Lee. Another old riverboat song that we like to do is called Sailing Down the Chesapeake Bay. We'd like to do that number for you right now. Thank you. All right. Well, now I'd like to bring Bev Anderson up here again to sing a little song called Bill Bailey, Won't You Come Home?
Won't you come home, Bill Bailey? Won't you come home? She moans the whole day long. I'll do the cooking, darling. I'll pay the rent. I know I've done you wrong. Remember that rainy evening I threw you out with nothing but a fine tooth comb. I know I'm to blame, well, ain't that a shame? Bill Bailey, won't you please come home? Remember that rainy evening I threw you out with nothing but a fine tooth comb. I know I'm to blame, well, ain't that a shame? Bill Bailey, won't you please? Bailey, won't you please? Bill Bailey, won't you please come on home?
Thank you, Bev. Bev Anderson. Well, now we're down to one of our final songs. This one is a march song written back in 1902. This is called Under the Double Eagle. If you feel like marching, well, feel free, but know that this is a very long song, so don't get started too soon. Here we go, Under the Double Eagle. All right. Thank you so much for being here tonight. Don't forget our Banjo-Rama. We're going to, ever since 9/11, we've liked to end our show with God Bless America. So we're going to get John up here to sing that. Please feel free to sing along. John?
While the storm clouds gather far across the sea, let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair as we raise our voices in a solemn prayer. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. From the mountains to the prairie, to the oceans white with foam, God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home.
Thank you for coming. Good night. From the Sacramento Banjo Band.
John, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, let's put our hands together one more time with this fabulous Banjo Band of Sacramento, Banjo-Rama. Woo! Ah, thank you so much. Now, what could be better than one dessert? Two desserts. Yes. Now, I came late to the Tommy Edison party. Our Sarah alerted us to this hilariously funny blind guy. And I, you know, Paul sent me the link. I checked it out and, you know, nearly split a gut watching this guy comparing, you know, Kroger brand cereals and messing up and, you know, going on roller coasters and not screaming, which I would have done. So, I mean, this guy we have spent time with this week and... what a joy. He's been with us since Tuesday evening and was at the Dining in the Dark and was generously donated, got one of the Bali trips after all. Thanks. So without further ado, dessert number two, Tommy Edison.
That is so nice. Thank you so much. It's lovely to be here. I got to thank Paul and everybody here at the California Council of the Blind and the folks with the ACB as well. And it's so nice of you to have me here. My name is Tommy Edison, and I've done a lot of things in my life that I'm not really supposed to have done. I really have. I just very quickly, and we'll tell you some stories. I worked in radio for a very long time. I was the traffic reporter on the radio for nearly 20 years in Connecticut. I'm quite serious, and I'll be honest with you, my stuff was some of the best on the radio in the state of Connecticut. It was great. I worked. What else? I worked as a movie critic. I'm known as a blind film critic on YouTube, and doing movie reviews from a blind person's perspective. It's been great fun. I do the Tommy Edison XP channel, also on YouTube. Thank you very much. And just all sorts of crazy fun things. I have an Instagram account, all sorts of fun. So I'm just going to tell you some stories, and there'll be some stories that'll make you smile and some things that just might freak you out a little bit. So if you're ready, then we'll begin. No, I I grew up in a place called Greenwich, Connecticut. Anybody? Oh, my God. Don't cheer, sweet. Just rattle your jewelry. It's an old John Lennon joke. But Greenwich is a very well, it's got a community, it's a wealthy community, and it's got a bit of a reputation for being, you know, rather fancy, don't you know? And my parents were not fancy at all. My dad was a cop and my mother a nurse. I mean, you know, growing up, it was embarrassing. You could see my parents, I mean, well, I couldn't, but anybody else could see my parents' house from the street. We didn't even have a tennis court growing up. It was, you know, it was rough, man. It was hard, you know. I couldn't have any endless love tennis matches. Hi-oh. But thank you. I appreciate that. But I do. And so when I was a kid, when I was like 3-4 years old, I fell in love. And I fell in love twice, and I fell in love hard. I fell in love with rock and roll music, and I fell in love with the place I heard rock and roll music, and that was the radio. So as a kid, and it breaks my heart that radio is really dying now. It's sort of, it's in big trouble. They just announced yesterday that Steel City Media, a company that owns some sticks in Pittsburgh and Kansas City, has also filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. So, yeah. So it's now iHeart, it's Steel City, it's Cumulus. It's very sad. So we'll see what happens. But in those days, it was a fun time. And I heard radio and I heard people laughing and playing rock and roll and having fun. And I said, this is what I want to do. This is what I'm going to do. And it didn't matter that I was a blind person. I just said, well, screw it. I'm gonna get this done. So now I'm going through the public school systems, which I also got to do. I've been mainstream my whole life. I'm blind since birth. Yeah. Thank you very much. Like, see, where's all my people that were not mainstream? Let me hear from you guys. Come on. Yeah. See, so it seems like we're split right down the middle. So my mom and dad fought for me to get into the public school systems in Greenwich. They did not want me. They did not want me. They wanted to put me in what they called the special class in those days. And that was kids with all different kinds of learning disabilities or perhaps Down syndrome or other forms of, you know, anything. And, you know, my parents were like, look, the kid's fine. He's cognitive. He's fine. He's all good. He just can't bloody see. And so they fought and fought and fought and got me into the public school system. And it was great. Now, I hated school. I walk into a school building still to this day, and it makes my, every August when the back to school commercials come on, I always flip. It breaks my heart every year. So, but I do. So I went through school, but I knew what I wanted to do. I wanted to be on the radio. When I was a kid, for a lot of my life, I hid my blindness. I tried to anyway, as best as I could. I tried to, and working on the radio was wonderful because it was a medium that I thought was fair. Because on television, you can see them, but they can't see you. On the radio, nobody can see anybody, and it's lovely. But I hated being blind. I could not say, I couldn't even say the word. I couldn't even say it. It made me crazy. And it was, it's just nuts. But it didn't stop me. I did what I wanted to do. And I went through public school, and then my parents said, you know what, you got to get out of here. You got to go to private school. And the town would pay for it, so I got to go to private school. And I when you're a kid, when you're like in high school, you're very irrational. And I'm going to tell you a weird story, and it's just a sort of an aside, but you know, this school was rather large. It had different dormitories. It had, you know, dining halls and classroom buildings and the whole thing. And I would have to learn mobility. I would have to learn cane travel. And, of course, I didn't want to use a cane because I'm like, everybody's going to know. What the? Whiskey, Tango, Foxtrot, kid. They already know. You know? So, but I did, and I cried with this mobility. I just stood there and cried and was defiant and said, no, you won't make me do this, and I finally did. And it was so great, and I was, you know, I went for my junior and senior year of high school, and it was wonderful because I could walk anywhere on that campus and, you know, wake up at 7:58 and show up for class on time. You know what I mean? It was, you know, it was good. So, you know, that was what I did, and I went through school playing music and also just loving the radio and not quite knowing what to do. And so I finished high school and I graduated and I couldn't believe I actually made it, but I did. And I wasn't dead last in my class, which was impressive. I was 65 out of 83. I'll tell you that. But I'll tell you what, you know what was weird about high school? I did my, so in these days, now I'm 100, all right? I sound spry and young, but I'm actually 100. But when I was in high school, I used to do, because when I went to boarding school, the state wouldn't provide the kind of, you know, they couldn't get the books for me like they could in public school. They couldn't get the Braille teachers to come and transcribe my work and stuff. So I used to do all my work on a real typewriter. And I couldn't check it. Nothing. I just hand it in. I just do the work and hand it in. And strangely enough, I met my Spanish teacher 20 years later at a reunion. And I said to him, hey, man, you always gave me C's in Spanish. How, you know, why is that? You know that my typewriter didn't have any of the accents or the tilde or any of that stuff. And he goes, why don't you say something, Thomas? What's wrong with you? And I said, you're kidding, really? Because, you know, you're all intimidated by teachers and stuff. At least I was. And I didn't want to cause trouble. So, you know, that was high school. Now I go to university. And again, I'm playing music and I'm starting to get into rock and roll bands and stuff and playing. I was a bass student. I play the harmonica. I play some piano. I play some drums. I play a little bit of everything. And I was also fascinated by radio. And I got a job interning at a radio station. Now, to intern means that you don't get paid, okay? But it's all stuff that money can't buy. It's people, it's the education, and it's being around two working radio stations every day of my life. And it was flipping awesome. It was wonderful. And the, you know, and the nice thing about interning, too, is that people get to know you, and they get to fall in love with you, and they get to understand what you are and what you do and how it works. You know, and people weren't really afraid of the blind thing too much anymore. So my first job on the radio was actually board hopping an old show called TalkNet that used to run on the NBC radio network back in the 80s. Bruce Williams, Sally Jesse Raphael, Harvey Rubin, people like this. Dr. Bernard Meltzer worked the weekends, people like that. Neil Myers, I could rattle them all off for you, but who cares? But that was my first job. And the first things I ever got to really say on the radio was, you know, the lottery numbers and then, you know, the weather. And that, and back to Bruce Williams and TalkNet on 1400 WSTC. And it was exciting. It was fun. Another thing I got to do on the first thing I ever got to do on the radio was an actual segue. And that just simply means to play one record after the next. That's what they call when you sort of bump two records together like that. And it was so exciting and it was so much fun. And so now I'm doing this TalkNet thing, and I'm hanging around. Like, I'm at the radio station every day. I have an actual paying job. And the program director of the jazz station comes over to me and says, kid, I'm in a little bit of trouble. I said, what's up? He goes, well, Linda, the midday person, is going on mat leave. She's going to have a baby. Lee, who does overnights, is going to do middays, and I need an overnight person. Would you do it? I said, hell yeah, I'd do it. Kidding me? Holy mackerel, it's my dream come true. He goes, all right, well, look, I'm not in Friday. I'll see you Monday, and we'll figure out how this is going to work. And I said, okay, cool. So now I have Friday, Saturday, and Sunday to figure. So see, when you daydream, you don't think about the middle part of your daydream, do you? You think about where you're at now, and you think about where you want to be. So now I have this lifelong fantasy, and I don't know how the F I'm going to pull this off. I don't even know. So now I'm starting to think. And so I spend the weekend thinking and planning. So one of the things that they give you when you do radio is, I hate to break it to you, but they give you a playlist. And they tell you all the records that you will play all through your shift in the order that they will be played and like that. So there's all sorts of information on this list. So the four things that I need were the disc number, the track number, the title, and the artist. And that's the information that I would copy down. So my mom could read me that. Okay, cool. The CDs are on a back wall of the radio station in slots, and so they're in rows of 64. So I learned how to count by 64 in a hurry. 1 to 64, 65 to 128, 129 to 192, 193 to 257, 257 to 321, and so on and so forth. I could just go all the way up the thing. So now I know how to pull them and put them away. Okay? Cool. Three station announcements, stuff like that, I could just copy those over. They change every like week and a half, and I just copy over a bunch of them and then, you know, rotate the new ones in, and that'll be easy too. Somebody at the house could read me those. Great. For the weather, easy peasy, there's nothing to it. You know, clear tonight down to 40 for tomorrow. It looks like partly sunny skies up near 62. It's 50, and, you know, so and so. And that's the weather, sorted. And the final thing is commercials. And my first job was going to be overnights. So there weren't going to be terribly many commercials. It's the jock before me could pull them. And then I could play him and make sure I had the right one in cue before I put it on the air. And so I go back Monday and I say, Rick, I think I got this. Here's the way I want to do it. What do you think? He goes, you start Sunday. I said, wow, we, no fooling. He goes, yep, you're on Sunday night. That's your first night. And the funny thing about this is strange, but at that time, Prince, who is one of my favorite artists of all time, was touring, and he was going to do about 8 shows in Connecticut and New York. I only got to see one. I saw Hartford, but it was the best. So I missed a ton of print shows and started my actual disc jockey career. And it was great fun. It was horrible. I was, you know, I'm sure I was awful my first couple of nights and for a while, but I learned and just did more things, you know. And as time went on, one of the things that you have to do in sort of any job, and not just radio, and anything that you do, is you want to be you want to be able to do any job in the house, right? So that you can be sort of, in baseball, they call it like a utility infielder, right? You want to be able to play first, second, short, and third. It's just nice. You play all 4 positions, you're always going to be in the game. The coach is always going to put you in. So I'm playing jazz overnights. The thing changes, and now, you know, the schedule goes back to normal. Now I'm a fill-in guy again. And it's not too bad. It's a fairly short trip from Greenwich into Stamford, where this radio station was, and I could get rides and take cabs and all this kind of stuff. I now get a job doing the traffic. That was my first foray into being a traffic reporter. The woman who was doing traffic was leaving to go do television in Hartford, and I said, yep, I'll do this, because it doesn't matter what I do on the radio. It just matters that I'm on the radio. I don't care. I'll do the traffic. Because the traffic, I get to play with the morning guys, the afternoon guys, and make jokes and all that kind of stuff. That's right up my alley. So I learned how to do that. I went back to jocking, and a year later, they would change the format from jazz to oldies. And it was going to be a satellite-delivered oldies format. So therefore, they didn't need any jocks. They didn't need jocks. So that summer, my little sister was breaking up with her fiancé at the time, and she moved back from London to Connecticut. And that summer, me and my little sister water skied every single day. And it was the best summer of our lives. We just skied every day, and it was awesome. In the fall, the radio station decided that the satellite thing wasn't working, so they were going to put some jocks on. They offered me a job, and I said yes. And I was the morning guy for a year, and then I was the night guy for a year. And it was fun. And so instead of playing, you know, Stan Getz and stuff, I was playing Buddy Holly and the Temptations and the Supremes, and Connecticut's best and most oldies on a new cool 96.7, right? You know, it was Chubby Checker, man, and the Twist. You know, and that was my job. So it was great fun. But as things happen in radio, formats change, and I got bumped. They let me go. So now I don't know what to do, because I've been at this radio station where I interned and stuff for a bunch of years, and now I got to go find a job. And at this time, the guy who put me on doing the traffic calls me up and says, look, I got a traffic opening in Bridgeport. Do you want it? I said, I do. And the morning guy was really talented. He was a guy named John Harper, a very talented guy. I was so excited to be able to work with him and on a bigger station and stuff. And I'm telling you now, I went to this radio station 4 times for interviews. 4 times. Is it going to be all right, Tommy? How are you going to do this? Well, what I'm going to do is listen to police scanners. We're going to give out a number that's going to be free on both, in those days, it was Metro Mobile or 9X and SNET were the two. You know, yeah, those are the 2 phone companies. And so it was free to call from either phone, and I said, this is how I want to do it. It's going to be nice. And they finally said, okay, you got the job. And I said, thank you very much. So I get a job at this radio station. Now remember, I'm blind on the air. I don't mention it. I never talk about it, because who needs to know? Nobody cares. I'm just giving you the traffic. Who cares? So now I'm on this morning show, and one of the things that we do on this show, that Harper was very much into going to schools and getting, like, we'd go visit schools and talk to them about being on the radio and stuff, and of course, I never figured that kids would be interested in me being blind. I just figured they'd be interested in the whole radio thing. I never think, you know, I goofed that one. So kids were into it, and we used to bring sound back of the kids saying, good morning, John and Tommy, and things like that, and then the parents could hear the kids on the air, and it was fun. So one day, a reporter from the New Haven Register hears about our school visits and says, these are great. Can I come along on one of these? I'd love to do a piece on it. And Harper says, sure, come on. And again, I don't figure anything's going to happen out of this. But this woman goes, oh, my God, you're blind? And I went, oh, my God, yes. And she was like, how do you do it? I was like, oh, my God. And so she did a story about us and about me. And the next morning, it was in the New Haven Register, and Harper says, can I read it on the air? I said, dude, I don't know. He goes, please, can I read it? I'll do it nice. I'll give you dignity. I promise. It's going to be fine. I said, all right, I trust you. And that was the first time I ever came out on the radio as a blind person. I swear to God. It was it was great. And here's the funny, I'll tell you a strange thing. So that was probably in, 1995. I would be at this job until 2013. Just the other day, as a matter of fact, was my 5th anniversary of my last show. They let me say goodbye at this radio station, which is incredible. Because radio people, they never let radio or television people say goodbye, but they let me, and it was wonderful. But until the very last day at that job, there were people who called in that morning and went, wait, you're blind? I've been listening to you all these years, and you're blind? I said, yep, because you can't tell the audience the same thing at the same time. You can't do it. So now I'm working in Bridgeport, Connecticut. It's about a 35-minute drive, and my shift is from 5 to 9 in the morning and from 3 to 7 in the afternoon. I work both ends of the day. I'm the traffic guy. So I have to figure out, how the hell am I going to get up there? And I do what you do. You ask your community. You just ask everybody you know, would you be interested in driving for me? I can pay you this much money. It'll be one time. I can take the train the other ways, and it'll be okay. And somebody said yes. And so I got to, you know, take this job and go do it. And it was awesome. And so now I'm on this morning show. You know, I'm working with this guy, Harper. I love it. I'm at a good radio station. And I'm miserable. I hate my life. I hate my life because I hate being blind because I have to pay somebody to drive my behind to work every day. If I miss the train, I have to wait 45 minutes or an hour for the next one. You know, and it's all this stuff, and it was all because I was blind. And the woman I was seeing at the time said, listen, you're all effed up. You need to go talk to somebody immediately. And I said, no, therapy, it's chiropractic for the mind. It doesn't do anything. It's 5.5 days worth of good, then you're jonesing, and by day 7, you're back in and you need more. And I said, I refuse to go to therapy. Won't do it. She never stopped. And I said, you know what? If it's going to make you shut up, I will go to therapy, okay? If you'll just shut your gob. Shut your gob. And so I did. So I went to therapy. And now I'm not getting any results. I don't notice anything. Nothing's changing. And I can't stand it. I hate my life, and I'm just, I don't want to be blind. It's the last thing I want. And remember, I can't even say the word. Can't even say it. I told her one, we used to meet Tuesdays at 10. I'd come home from work and go straight to her office for 10 and then go take my nap and then do the afternoon. And this one particular Tuesday, I said, look, just for next week, don't even bother. Take somebody else for me because I'm not going to be here next week. And she said, how come? I said, well, because I'm going away. I don't want to do this anymore. And she said, what do you mean? And I said, well, I'm gonna kill myself this weekend. And she said, you're gonna what? I said, yeah, I got it all figured out. I got a ton of Valium. I got beers. I got it all figured out. And I'm gonna go away this weekend. And she goes, look, I hate to do this to you, but we are out of time. I said, of course you are. Of course you're out of time, sweetheart. What? Come on. You chuterelle. What are you doing to me? No, really. We're out of time. Can you please come back 167 hours from now? Please just give me 167 hours. If you still feel ishy and you still feel like you want to do this, then you can go on ahead and do it the following weekend. But can we please come back? And I said, all right, I will. And dude, I'm telling you right now, she saved my life. It's incredible. I'm sitting here because of her. You know what? Thank you for that. That's awfully nice. It kills me to talk about this story. I mean, it breaks my heart because I was so desperate. You know, I was in such despair. And then I start to see therapy begin to work. And she's so smart. She says things to me, like, because I always thought of myself as a blind person, right? And she said, why don't you move the sentence around a little bit? And I said, what do you mean? And she goes, well, why don't you be a person that happens to be blind? How does that grab you? And I said, whoa, really? And she goes, of course. See, because I always figured that people would see me and see the blind first and never see anything else. And that I was a burden, that I was a drag, and that I was going to have to, you'd have to take care of me and all these kinds of things. But it wasn't like that. It wasn't like that at all. And she finally one day, it was one Tuesday, and she said, you're cooked. I said, what are you talking about? She goes, you're cooked. You're done. I said, you're throwing me out? She goes, yeah. I said, a therapist is telling me I'm done. Yep, you're good. Okay, thank you very much. And I left, and I went, and I kept working on the radio and was blind on the air, and it was cool. And so I did it for a long, long time. It was wonderful. So now we flash forward. Now I'm working, you know, Harper's gone. We bring a couple of different guys in. And my friend Tad comes in. I love him. And Tad is now a big star. He's working in Atlanta on B98.5. So if you're ever in town, put him on in the morning. He's wonderful. But, you know, so I'm working now. The Tad's there, the Skip, my boss, and I'm just having the best time of my life. And, you know, I'm hanging out. And, you know, again, it's 5 to 9 and 3 to 7. So, I don't know, one night, it's a Monday night, I'm hanging out with my great friend Ben Churchill. And we were just talking, I had seen some movie, and I was able to follow about 80, 85% of this film all the way to the resolution. And then the end of the film was no words. No words. And I'm going, Whiskey Tango, Foxtrot, what a piece of garbage. This movie stinks, blah, 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 blah. And Ben goes, wait a minute. Let's do movie reviews. I said, shit, let's do it. We could do movie reviews. This would be awesome. It's something sighted people had never considered. And we'll do it. We'll call it. And we sat and thought about the name for a minute and came up with the Blind Film Critic. I said, it's a perfect name. It's exactly what it is. And look at that. Blind is the first thing of my name. Isn't that freaky? Isn't that cool? What a transformation, right? So, oh, you guys are too easy. I love this crowd. Can I, you know, the band did this by playing California, Here I Come. So can I, how many people from California in the house tonight? Come on. I've always wanted to do that. So, so now we get this idea to do the Blind Film Critic. So Ben goes on the internet and finds that there's going to be a movie Thursday night at midnight. And he's like, perfect, this is great. We'll go to the midnight show. Then what we can do is we can go back, shoot the review, and I'll drop you off at the plant for five. Okay? I said, okay, cool. So, and he's like, look, we can't do this just once. We got to do a bunch. I said, I got you. So that was my new schedule. Thursday night, I'd come home from work, get up around 10:30, 11, go to the movies, shoot a review, off to the plant for work, and then sleep during the midday. And that was my new thing. So Ben's driving me to work that Friday morning. We'd seen Scream 4. We'd shot the review. And he goes, dude, I got to be honest with you. I don't know what this is. And I don't even know if this will ever see the light of day. But I'm going to go home and look at it now and see what it's like in the edit. And I'll call you later and let you know. I said, all right, cool. He called me up and said, it's up. And I went and watched it. And I went, geez, that's cool, man. Look at you, the way you edited that thing and put it all together. Nice. So it got some views over the weekend, and then Monday afternoon, I was back from my afternoon shift at work, and I'm sitting at my desk, and I get a call. Hey, Tommy Edison? Yes, sir. Hey, this is, I'm calling you from the Laszlo Show in Kansas City, at 98 Rock or whatever it was. And I said, oh, well, hi, how's it going? And this guy goes, listen, you know, I'm producing the show, and we saw what you did on the internet. We love what you're doing. Could you come on for us? And I said, I'd love to, man. It'd be fun. And so that was my first bit of press for Blind Film Critic. So I do this interview. I call Ben. I'm like, dude, I just did press. We got to hang out. It was a week later now. It's the following Monday that we, you know, since we come up with the idea. So we're hanging out drinking beers at my house, sort of watching the internet. And then it happens. Roger Ebert tweeted out my review of Scream 4. Now, for the younger people in the house, Roger Ebert had a partner called Gene Siskel, and they were about the, I would say, arguably the most famous movie reviewers in American history. Would that be about right? Yeah. Okay. So this guy tweets out my review, and now it's a jump off, and people are, it's, you know, we're blowing up a little bit. It's getting exciting, doing a lot of press, doing a lot of media and stuff, and it's great. Ebert tweeted out the first couple of reviews that we ever did, and it was awesome. It was just incredible. So we're doing these movie reviews, seeing The Hunger Games and seeing Bad Teacher and all these, you know, horrible bosses and all these, ugh, these movies. This is dreck. And, you know, in the comments section of the videos, people are starting to ask questions about me. They don't really care about the movie reviews. They want to know about my life. So we had shot some other stuff. We were actually trying to pitch a reality show with me. We just thought it might be fun and different. And I actually did. I went to Washington and Silver Springs and stuff to go have meetings at Discovery and at Travel and at Nat Geo and all these other channels. And boy, let me tell you, that's intimidating, being in a pitch meeting. It's no fun. It's no fun. And we never got a show, but we had all this footage that we had shot. So Ben put together the ATM video where I went to an ATM. I don't know if you've ever seen that one, but it's pretty funny. And so we put that, and we started the new channel, the Tommy Edison XP channel, which means experience. And on that channel, that's where we started to do all the stuff, where I'd answer questions about blindness, do play a lot of games. We have a game called Blind versus Blindfolded that we do. We do some taste tests. We tell stories, do demos, and more. So that's the birth of the YouTube channel, and it's absolutely incredible. So, you know, we're doing this stuff, and YouTube is the reason I'm here. I mean, like, when I was on the radio, people knew who I was, but on YouTube, it's wild. I mean, because now people see me, and they don't just hear my voice. So they, you know, they come up to me, and they, you know, I get recognized, and it's lovely. It's incredible. So we're doing YouTube and having a good time, and My life is just transforming. My life is changing, and it's so, it's wonderful. Now, one of the things that I had to do was I was never terribly good at asking for help. And again, you know, it goes back, and even after my therapy and all that stuff, I could never really get my head around it. Because again, I didn't want to be trouble, and I can do it myself. I'm strong. I'm this, I'm that. I am invincible. I am blind man. I'm taking the old Helen Reddy song and making, I'm updating it for myself here. 1970, solid gold, everybody. 71? Oh, sorry. No, not 74. Angie Baby was 74. I Am Woman was much earlier. Maybe 71, 72. Nonetheless, I was at a conference in Manhattan. It was a four-day event. It went from Thursday to Sunday. And every morning, what I would do is call downstairs and say, can somebody come and pick me up, bring me to Brekkie, then take me outside so I could have a cigarette. I don't smoke any longer, but I used to. So I could have a quick cigarette before my thing and be on my thing by 9 o'clock. Sure. Thursday it happens. Friday it happens. Saturday it happens. Sunday I call. Nothing. It's 8 o'clock. It's 8:10. It's 8:15. Nobody's coming for me. I call again. Nothing, nothing, nothing. 8:25, I go downstairs. So I've been in this hotel for days now, for 3 days. So I knew where the elevator was, and I reached in, and sure enough, there's a button that said ballroom. I said, well, I bet this is where we are. And I popped my head in, and someone goes, Tommy, how you doing? I said, hey, man, I'm great. Could anybody do me a quick favor? I'd love to just grab a Coke and have a quick cigarette before the thing at 9. And a guy, before I could get the words out of my mouth, goes, I got you. And I went, whoa, really? He goes, yeah, come on, let's go. Come on, we don't have much time. And dude, that changed my life. That was huge for me, just giant. See, when I would go into Manhattan to go visit people, I would make them try and find out what track my train was coming in on. Who the hell knows that? Who cares? No one gives them. Nobody cares. And so my friends would have to try and find me because I wasn't going to move or any of this. But after that experience, I can now get on the, there's millions of people on a Metro North train. There's loads of people, and I can just ask somebody for help, and if they say no, someone else will. Because we all, that's part of the human condition, isn't it? We love to help each other. We do. I love helping people. I love being there for people. If somebody needs directions and something in the neighborhood, you know, where's this? Oh, it's right down here. Come right this way. You know, and that was incredible. It was so good. And, you know, so those are just a couple of real transformative, huge things that happened in my life to be able to let me do what I do now. I travel all the time alone. I love to travel alone. I get the best service when I travel alone. I mean, come on, you guys. You know, we go straight to the front of the line at airport security, don't we? Right to the front. Right to the front. On a lot of airlines, they don't know how to take our credit cards. So I drink for free. Why not? I Metro North trains. I ride for free because I never buy my ticket before the train because then if they don't take my ticket, I got an empty ticket. Forget that. I buy my ticket on the train. And most times, they don't even come around or they see me sitting there and they just don't bother. Isn't it nice? Hey, listen, membership has its privileges, right, kids? I'll tell you what, though. So, you know, those are some of my stories. And one of the things that I really, like, I got is a choice. And that your blindness is a choice. I never understood this, but I got it. I finally, because people used to say to me, how can you laugh and play and have so much fun at 5 o'clock in the morning? And I'm going, oh God, I hate this time of day. You know, the listener's saying that. And we're busy laughing and playing and stuff. And you know how I do that? Because I chose it. Yeah. I chose to, right? And how did I get to deal with my blindness? I chose my blindness and it transformed my entire life. Transformed it. So here's the thing I want to leave you with. The thing I want to leave you with is this. In order for you to truly, truly be with yourself, to get yourself, in order to get with yourself and to be comfortable in your own skin, you must first be with yourself. You must. You must learn yourself. You must know yourself. You must know what you are and what you're capable of. And you must also know what you don't know. And like, you know what? So in order to get with yourself, you must be with yourself. And that's sort of my stories, and thank you very much. And I would love, if you guys have any questions, if there's anything that you're curious about from my stories or anything else, I'd love to, because Q&A is always my favorite part. So if there's anything you want to know, just shout them out. Somebody will bring a microphone around too. I think, right, is there a runner?
Oh, yeah, they
sure. We got runners, we got a runner. And I got a little glass of Rojo here, so I can now have a drink.
Well, you can always ask, and, you know, people will do what you want them to do, Tommy.
Yes, so ma'am. Aren't you nice, Judy? Aren't you nice? So if we can get a runner, if anybody would like to know anything at all, Otherwise, we're going to start doing auctions and stuff, and I'm going to try and take some money from you people. So why not ask a question first and have another drink?
No, we're not buying your trip to Valley. Sorry.
Oh. So the other night at Dining in the Dark, I took part in a... I've always seen this, too. I've been to many of these different auctions where people are bidding on stuff and these wonderful prizes and these things that you can get. And so Paul says, listen, could you, you know, I'd love for you to bid on this Bali trip. I was like, okay, Paul. And I'm bidding, and I'm like, okay, I'm 27 now. I think I'll stop here at about $27,000, $2,700, 28. I went to 28. And then somebody outbid me. And then the auctioneer goes, look, here's what we're going to do. If I give you, he's got this for $3,000. These two have it for, if you paid, would you do it for $3,000 too? And I said, absolutely. So I'm going to Bali, and it's going to be awesome. So it's great fun. So and can I just say this too? You guys are some of the most inspiring people I've ever met. As I said, I really don't hang around with a lot of blind people. I don't know an awful lot of blind people. And I've met some absolutely wonderful people this weekend. I've made some friends for life. That we're going to be together. And any, you know, if you guys are, ever find yourself in the New York area and want to come for an afternoon in Connecticut and hang out, we have great pizza, great restaurants, a lot of entertainment. My neighborhood is so accessible that it is literally, when I bought my house, I had no idea how close it was to the railroad station. I'm literally a minute and a half walk from the railroad station. I could give any one of you blind people directions to my home that you would absolutely understand and be able to follow and go, holy mackerel. So if you ever want to come up to Connecticut, you're more than welcome to. Does anybody have any questions? Anybody want to know anything? Are you coming next week? Good for you, sir. Listen, you hit me up, man. We'll hang out.
Somebody's got a question.
We have questions. Good. What would you like to know?
Hey, Tommy. How's it going, man?
Good, sir. So, what's your name? What's your first name?
My name's Larry.
Hey, Larry.
So you picked Scream 4 as your first movie to review, and
yes,
I saw
sir.
That, and it's a terrible movie.
Oh, yeah.
So
awful.
I'm really curious, is that, I mean, what's the worst movie you ever reviewed? I'm just curious. I don't know why. I bet you have a funny answer.
No, that's fine. I'll tell you what the worst genre is, because to give somebody the worst is, you know, but I can't stand all the Marvel comic stuff, all the superhero films. They're awful. They're horrible. Sorry, lo siento. I didn't like Star Wars either. I like Star Trek. Don't care for Star Wars. Thin story, weak story, thin. What an outrage. But all the superhero stuff, because I feel like the writers got the day off, because it's all eye candy, you know what I mean? It's all stuff to look at, and you don't really need a bloody story. You just need all these cool effects and stuff. So, you know, like X-Men was horrible, and the Thor movie was awful, and all that stuff. It's just not my thing. It's not my thing. Although, I will say this. Seeing the described version of Daredevil on Netflix, it was ridiculous, but here's what I will say. Watching it undescribed first, I had no idea what the heck was happening. And watching it described second cleaned it all up for me. And I watched a few episodes of it, just action's not my thing. As far as my favorite movies, like Goodfellas, Clerks,
yeah.
You know, come on, a movie that starts with All My Life I Wanted to Be a Gangster is a hit movie for my money. That's a great film. So there you go, Larry. That's your answer. Is that a good answer for you, sir? There you go. Anybody else? Would you like any questions at all?
Hello. Hi, Tommy. This is Lorene.
Hello.
I had a question. If you had any mentors that were comedians, are you born with your sense of humor, or did you have to develop it?
No. You know what? You know who taught me to be funny? My mother.
Aw.
My mom. No, dude. My mom was so cool. She was. Here's a great story. You know, my mother. You know what my mom turned me on to? The Howard Stern Show.
Yeah.
That's right. When he was on WNBC in New York, when he first got to town, my mother was listening to it, and it's like, dude, you got to hear this guy. I said, Ma, come on. She goes, you must listen. And so, yeah, my mom was a big, big comedy influence for me. And a lot of old disc jockeys, too. There was a guy named Dan Ingram who worked in New York forever and ever and ever. Kemosabe. Right, Kemosabe. He was very funny and had quick lines and stuff. There was a guy called Mark Simone that was a big, giant influence for me who did overnights on the old WPIX in New York. So, yeah, there were a bunch of mentors, but my mom really taught me funny. My mom taught me funny.
We can take a couple more questions.
Yeah. Sir?
Oh. Hi, Tommy. This is Olivia.
Hello, Olivia. I love your name.
Oh, thank you.
You know, you have to believe we are magic, don't you, Olivia? Nothing could stand in our way.
Oh, okay, I get it.
Right? It's an Olivia Newton-John record for the kids.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yes, yeah. I know this is kind of a dumb question, but when I first heard your name, I thought, oh my gosh, are you related to Thomas Edison?
You knew this was coming.
Darling, I am Thomas Edison. Right, Olivia? Oh, come on, don't boo that. That was funny. Come on.
Oh, God, I gotta speak after that. Okay. Tommy, you've gone for more than a half an hour, and I haven't heard a Braille menu tirade or accessible menu tirade. I love that skit you did on YouTube with the beep and the brr.
Yeah, wasn't that fun? So we did a video where we called several different restaurants and asked if they had Braille menus, and most of them didn't. We found one at Outback, and the one at Outback was very old. Now rules just right. It's Outback's diecast. Throw a ship on the bobby for you. But their menu was a little dated. They had the filet mignon dinner for $3.95. It was a little old menu. But you know what? Can I say something about accessibility? There's a couple things. I'm a big Braille literacy guy. I love Braille. I think we all need a little working knowledge of Braille. I think it's very important. Because you don't want to walk into a bathroom and hear screaming, you know what I mean? You want to be able to get to your floor and find your hotel room and things like that. So I think people should have a little bit of Braille. I really do. The other thing I like to think about is accessibility. And, you know, I've heard it 100 times in my life. You know, accessibility stands in the way of innovation. Bravo Sierra, it does. Bravo Sierra, it does. You like how I curse everybody?
Yeah.
Thank you. But that's Bravo Sierra. That's not true. Now, if you look at a company like Apple, for example, Steve Jobs was very into accessibility, very much so. You see, they built it from the ground up. But if you're going to just try and slap accessibility on at the end, it's never going to work. It's never going to work. So here's what I will say to the future web designers and the future creators and, you know, all you guys that are doing this stuff and IT and stuff, make your product accessible from jump. It'll be so much easier and it'll work so much better. And here's the other thing that you have to know. Accessibility isn't just for us. Accessibility is for everybody.
What are you talking about, Tommy? What do you mean?
I'll tell you what I mean. The wheelchair ramp like at the supermarket or whatever, that's nice for people in chairs. You know who else gets to use that? People with baby carriages, all sorts of things. All sorts of people get to use that. The audiobooks, talking books used to be our jam. That was our thing. Now it's a multi-jillion dollar industry. People listen to books in their cars, on trains, everywhere they go. Audiobooks are huge. So accessibility really is for everybody. So, you know, that's my little accessibility rant. But, yeah. And Braille menus, I'd like to see more Braille menus in places. But at the same time, I was like being surprised when the bill comes.
You want to negotiate to pay the prices that are on the menu.
Yes, ma'am. That's right. That's exactly right. Anything else? Do we have any more questions?
One more.
We got one more?
Tell us about your love life.
You want to know about my love life? What do you want to know about my love life, darling? Be more specific. No, I don't know. I've only dated sighted women. I don't hang around with blind people, so I date sighted women. People are always curious, how do you find somebody that you like? How do you, you know? And for me, I'll tell you what, and for most of us in this room, we are personality driven. We like that. That's what we go for. We get to live Dr. King's dream. We get to judge people on the content of their character, not by the color of their skin. We live the dream, y'all. We do. And it's amazing.
That's Bravo Sierra.
That's Bravo Sierra, you think?
No.
No. She's just being funny with me now. But we do. So we get to live the dream, and it's pretty flippin' incredible. And so that's how I meet people. And it's all personality driven. And if we get along, if we click, and then I get to find out what you look like. You know what I mean? And then I'm either like you or I don't. And it doesn't matter what you look like. You know what I mean? It's all about what you got in your head and what's in your heart. And that's what makes you human. And that's what we all fall in love with. So that's how my love life works and, you know, my dating life and all that kind of thing. Well, I'll tell you what. Listen, thank you guys so much. First, and again, thank you, Paul, for having me and the CCB and all you guys for inviting me because it's been so much fun. You know, me from Connecticut, you know what I mean? All the way out here. It's you know, I lived out here for about a year down in Santa Monica, and it was great fun. But had some changes in my life and, you know, got back to Connecticut. And so here I am. And, you know, I'll tell you what. I'll give you a little scoop. I'm working on a book. I know. Maybe next year I'll read another one.
that Jimmy Durante song, I'll Never Forget the Day I Read a Book?
That's right. That's right. Yeah, so I'm working on a book. I'm working on my memoirs and stuff. So with any luck, if my agent could sell the proposal, there will be a Thomas Edison book. So keep your eyes and ears open for that. Right, let's do a couple of things here because we have a couple of things that we might like to try and auction off. Now, I've never really done any auctioneering and stuff.
I'm going to tell people a little bit about what you're auctioning off.
Ladies and gentlemen, if I would, please, Miss Judy. she's going to be like my Jay Stewart or Johnny Olson describing the prizes here.
We have items that are made by our own members that were in the art some of you know Noel Runyon. Well, if you were sad that you didn't get an item by Noel Runyon, have we got a couple for you? And then we also have something by Sheila Gunn Cushman, who donated an item. So we're going to see how much moolah we can get for these, and Tommy's going to go for it. So those two items, Tommy.
Okay, so which one do you want to do first now?
Let's do Sheila's first.
Let's do Sheila's. Okay, so we're going to start the bidding at $25. Okay.
This is going to be an agate necklace.
It's made by Sheila.
And we have no clue what color it is,
and we don't care. But if it's going to feel cool, and you're going to like it, and it's got a nice stone, and it's going to make...
Black or dark blue.
So take your pick.
Okay.
So we'll start the beginning at 20. I got 25, now 25, I need 30, 30, 25. Oh, I got 30, 35? Now I got 30, 35, now I got 40. 35, I need 40, 35, bid, 35, bid, 35, bid, 35, I need 40. That's my auctioning skills. Not bad, right? No, it's not bad, Tommy. It's horrific. But we got 40. Anybody 45? 45. 45 for the necklace. Let's go 50. Anybody $50? $50 for this lovely necklace made by one of our own, the great Sheila, put this thing together.
Describe it. Right here.
Oh, it's a lovely chain. Oh, it's a nice thick rope chain. It's a great big thick chain. It's got stones all the way through. This is a very nice piece. This is going to look great on you. This is going to look fantastic on you. So we're up to, 45? We got 50, right? We're only at 45. Let's get 50. Anybody 50? 45. I need 50. 45. We'll go once. 50 for the lady over on the left. Come on. There she goes. Let's go 55. Can we get 55? I got 50. I need 55. $55. Can we get a 55? 50 going once. 50 going twice. Sold, and it's gone. $50.
And who is it that bid? Who is it that bid?
Oh. Linda, congratulations. You're going to love this. You're going to absolutely love this.
And you know, Tommy could come and model it for you right after this.
I will model it for you. I will model it just for you. All right, what do we have?
We have from Noel Runyon.
So Noel Runyon is one of our own. So if somebody could bring a microphone over to Mr. Runyon, he's made some bolo ties. We're gonna try and sell some of these.
I've got to find a microphone.
Mr. Runyon is going to describe them for us.
This is Noel Runyon here. And one of my passions has been grinding, polishing stones. And then I decided to combine that with getting rid of some of my high-tech junk. Some of you, you've given away your old computers. I've torn them apart and recycled everything I could. Took some of the shiny parts, like the platters and things like that, and polished them up. So this is a form of art I'm calling Art Techo. And I'm going to make a quick jump here, Tommy. You weren't expecting.
Yes, sir.
Promote the museum show. We have a tactile art museum show just down the road.
Oh, yeah, there's one more afternoon, right? Sunday afternoon, they'll be doing it again, right?
Tomorrow afternoon, 6? 3 to 6.
3 to 6.
And I want to encourage everybody to go down there because it's the one museum where you're encouraged to feel the art. You can touch everything. We've got lots of nice tactile art, some of it made by blind folks, and it's just an astounding museum. Okay, so I have pieces down there, but...
Please, let's have attention for Noel.
Pardon?
Listen, pay attention. You're going to be buying this stuff, so we need... You know,
now, what I want to talk you into is a couple of pieces I made up where I took Pentium computer chips, flipped them over, and their bottom sides are covered with 400-some gold-plated pins.
Wow.
That with a little corral in the center that I put a polished stone in, and then I surrounded the whole thing with a twisted trio of heavy-gauge copper wire. Now, Tommy's thinking Twisted Trio is a music group, but it's just copper wire. And then I mounted on a bolo and a necklace. So they're a matching pair of necklace and bolo that really is an outstanding conversation piece. And so I'm going to let
All right, Noel.
It's a lovely description. So, it's a matching neck and bolo tie. It's made by our friend Noel Runyon, and we're going to start the bidding at $60 for both pieces. Anybody 60? I got 60. I need 65. 65. I need 65. 60. 60. We're starting the bid at $60. Anybody going for 60? I don't see any hands going up. Oh, that old gag. $60. $60 for the bolo and the neck. For $60, made by our friend Noel Runyon over here, out of like some high tech stuff, some cool things. It seems like a very neat product. Can I say? Yeah. Do we have one of those over here?
I bid $60.
All right, $60. We're starting the bid at $60. Anybody take it for $60?
We've got it $60, right?
Do we have 60?
Did we have it? Did I hear?
No, we haven't got it for 60 yet.
Yes.
Oh, she's over here.
I thought we did.
All right, we have 60 over in the corner, over on my right-hand side.
Jean-Marie,
65. Let's go 65. Anybody 65? Made by one of our own here, by the great Noel Runyon. 65, 60 going once. 65. I need 65. 60 going once. 60 going twice. Come on, 65. We can't get a 65 for Noel. Come on. Oh, you want that, sir? No, he didn't take it. Okay. All right. Then you know what? Going once for 60. Going twice for 60. Sold and it's gone for $60. Congratulations. You're going to love those. Thank you very much. Again, thank you all for tonight. The band, wasn't the band fantastic before? Can we hear it for the band one more time?
Woo!
Guys are real nice, man. Real good. And apparently we have some other business to do here for the rest of the evening, and we're probably going over time a little bit.
Oh, are we ever behind time?
I'm sorry,
Judy.
I'm sorry.
We're not. No. Now we can just have fun. We had dessert. We had two desserts. And you know, what could get better than awards? What could be better?
Awards are nice.
Woo! So, what was
Three
that?
Desserts. Three desserts. That's funny, sir. That's very funny, sir.
You know, when I first came back to the California Council, when Steve and I came back from New York, I said, I want to be on the Publications Committee. This was back in late 1909. And then Mike Keith... I mean,
1909.
Well, what can I say? It's getting a little late.
You're here longer than John Mavis.
So I get on this committee and talk about, Linda said I was wicked old, but what a wicked fun committee it was and is. So, you know, in early 2010, Mike Keithley said, I just don't want to edit The Blind Californian anymore. And so, you know, pick me. And by gosh, Bernice Kandarian picked me, and I was the editor for the next, as you know, 6 years. But I never have served, and even though I've worked on a number of committees this past year, there's still nothing better than our Publications Committee. And so here to give some awards, I have the chair of the Publications Committee, Linda Perel. I think we're sharing, Linda. You want Linda to share?
Sharing, okay. Share alike. Is this a table mic?
Yes.
Yeah, all right.
Can we get for Linda?
Yeah. Hi, everybody. I have two awards to give this year, usual awards, one for issue-oriented article and one for lifestyle article. We at the Publications Committee, I have a lovely, fun committee. We meet the second Wednesday of every month. And I will name them now from Silicon Valley. We've got Roger Peterson. We've got Donna Sanchez. We've got Susan Glass. And Mike Keithley, the editor of Blind Californian. And from Southern California, we have Bonnie Rennie and Kathy Schmidt-Whitaker. And we have myself, and then we have the lovely Sarah Harris, who just joined us recently. So it's a fabulous committee. We have we work really hard, but we also have lots of fun. I have these two awards. I'm going to need to have someone. We have plaques to give to the winners of the awards. So I'm going to need somebody to read?
I'm right here. I can help.
Sarah's
right
here.
If my voice will hold up.
Yay, yay. All right. So Sarah's going to whisper to me which plaque this is first, and then I'll say something about it, and she can read the plaque. We'll walk over to the winner and give... we have two gentlemen that won this year. So first of all, let's... Okay. Okay. So not only is Mr. Noel Runyon an artist, he's also a writer. He happened to win the Best Issue-Oriented Article Award for his audience on the Los Angeles voting system. So
nice.
We are going to walk over to Noel and give him this award. Or actually, Sarah's going to do it. I'm going to stay here and hug the mic.
Did you want me to read exactly what it says?
Yes,
you
read it. Yeah.
The California Council of the Blind Publications Award, Best Issue-Oriented Article of 2017, to Noel Runyon for the new Los Angeles County voting system, the Blind Californian, Spring 2017, presented 24th day of March 2017 in the city of Rancho Cordova, California.
18. It says 17. It's a, oh, you know what? It's an award for 2017. But a plaque people put, the article was published in 2017, but it's awarded today. So we've done a little time traveling here, folks. So, Sarah, if Noel is the artist who stood up and described.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have a runner taking it over there.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're going to take that over there. Thank you, Noel.
Give it to her.
Yeah,
it
already got over
here. Okay, great. The other article is the lifestyle article, and I have the supreme pleasure of giving it to my esteemed, wonderful, good friend, Gabe Griffith, for his article enticingly called My Roller Coaster Ride. So let Sarah read that. Award, and then someone will fetch it over to Gabe.
Okay, I'm going to lean in. Oh, there you go. Hand me the mic. California Council of the Blind Publications Award, Best Lifestyle Article of 2017 to Gabe Griffith for My Roller Coaster Ride, The Blind Californian, Fall 2017, presented 24th day of March, once again, 2017, but we know it's 18, in the city of Rancho Cordova, California.
What is reality, folks? Anyway, what we would love to do in Publications Committee is to establish a new award for a first-time writer award. So we're very interested in having anybody who hasn't written before contact any of us to write an article and submit it. Especially, we're going to try to preview some new writers in our fall issue. We have 4 issues a year of The Blind Californian, as you know. And so please test your writing chops. We'd love to have you join us.
Okay. What fun, and congratulations to Noel and Gabe. Now, what? Oh.
What did he say? Oh, Debbie. Oh. All right. Yeah, let me thank Susan Glass, who co-edits the magazine along with Mike Keithley, and Deb Runyon, who is our new copy editor, new formatter. And yes. Nobody has complained about the large print article since Deb started doing it. So thank you, Deb.
Vivian Younger. We've been waiting for Vivian because we want to know about chapter awards.
Oh. Woo! Oh.
Woo-hoo! Fell off.
Yeah, and you didn't snap it on.
I didn't. It didn't get... Okay. Okay.
Okay, and here's a microphone for you, dear. With that.
Hello, everybody. Well, I'm going to present this award in a different way this year, and all of you are going to be participants. So, what I need to start off to tell you, first of all, I want to thank my committee. I'm the chair of the membership committee. Sugar Lopez wasn't able to be with us, but she sent her wishes to everyone, especially to the committee members. The rest of the committee members are Larice Diamond, Sarah Harris, Sandy Nelson. I'm trying to go down alphabetically, but it's not working. Joe Smith. And who did I leave out? Oh, and Artis Bazin. Well, you guys, I'm sorry. Artis knows who she is. Sorry about that, Artis. Anyway, all right, so I want you guys to imagine something. A lot of times, I want to start out by saying that I want to encourage more of you to go out and think of a project. It doesn't have to be a big project. It doesn't have to involve a lot of people. And so right now, let's all pretend that we're at a chapter meeting for just about 2 seconds. And we're in this meeting and we're thinking, okay, what can we do for this year? Well, somebody might say, oh yeah, we'll serve coffee at a coffee shop. Yeah, right, sure, we're going to do that. And somebody else might say, well, going on that same theme, why don't we have a coffee in the dark? Well, that'd be kind of scary, wouldn't it? And then we might say, okay, well, I think we better forget about that particular goal. So I'm giving that really simple example because I think some people feel overwhelmed when they think of some kind of award for the year, and they can just see the computer running and the documents flying out and people running all over the place and zipping here and zipping there and climbing mountains and doing what, right? I don't hear you. All right, so if you're shaking your head, that you're lost cause, okay? I won't see you. But anyway, so here's what I want to tell you about this chapter. Now, we're going to imagine ourselves doing what the chapter members did for this chapter of the year, yahoo. Well, I want you to imagine yourself right now. You all have your packets, and you're going to go door to door. Ooh, that sounds really intimidating. But guess what? You're going to not go door to door to sell anything. You're going to go door to door to offer something to everyone. You're going to start safe. Why don't we start with the politicians to be safe? I don't think they're going to turn us away because they need our constituency, right? So just think about it. So I'm just giving a lot of examples just to get you guys to think. But I won't go on too long, but I want to say that I want to ask how many of you would be interested in me doing a focus call so that you are given some ideas and we can toss some things around and just have a little bit of a jump start. Would you guys be in favor of that, having that kind of a meeting in terms of thinking about a chapter, you know, what you want to do?
Yeah. Sure, yes.
I don't believe you yet. Well, this is the time when everybody's together, and bottom line is I want you guys to think really hard and I'm interested in as many members' participation as possible because I believe in you. We are a grassroots organization, and in order for us to show that we are a grassroots organization, we have to set goals within our abilities, within our chapters, so that we can achieve small goals to big goals. So I have faith in you. Do you have faith in yourselves? Say yahoo!
Yahoo!
All right, now listen, I have all year to see you guys, emails, phone calls. I'm happy to call each of you presidents and membership representatives and just know that I'm just a phone call away. So about this award, what these guys did. I was amazed when I found out about what they were doing. How many of us like accessibility? Say, Yahoo! All right. Well, what happened was, this chapter wanted to not only think of accessibility for the blind, but they wanted to extend it to all persons with disabilities. So one example of this is when you go to a corner, we think of accessibility could be audible signals. Oh. It could be, someone just said hello to me there. Okay. It could be, we have those little bump things that we get to the curb to show us that we need to stop. But think about this. If you're partially sighted and you want to use your residual vision and you see that this tree is in the way, I mean, in other words, it's grown out into the sidewalk, so you can't really look down the street, then that's inaccessible not only for you as the visually impaired person, but also for anyone that has any type of vision. Or sometimes we have blindness versus wheelchair accessibility. However, if an intersection was there and it was inaccessible for both the blind and people in, say, in wheelchairs or use walkers or that type of thing.
Excuse me, paratransit is here for Natalie Byrne.
Then that would be an awesome if we thought to get outside of the box. Well, this chapter did that. This chapter went and knocked on those politician and city officials' doors and said, you know, we see a problem at 6 Magnolia Street. Is there someone here that can accompany me so that we can go discuss the intersection? And that's what they did.
Yes.
And then also, they said, okay, you know what? Yeah. We want to make sure a whole bunch of people know that we are interfacing and interacting with the official city officials and also with the legislatures. So then they went to newspapers.
Vivian, we need to move this along.
Yeah, I know. Okay. I'm thinking that it's important because I want to help encourage confidence, Judy. That's the reason that I'm doing extra time with this. It's the only time that I get to do it. So let me just say, excuse me, let's not spoil the joy that we've been experiencing. All right. I would like someone from the Redwood Inland Empire to come up here and accept the award.
I think we, is there someone from Redwood Empire? Good.
Yes. They're coming. To present this award to you for your outstanding advocacy and involving city officials and your chapter members each going out as to the best of their ability, no matter what type of disability that they had, and that you were very caring and looking out for all individuals with disabilities. Yeah. Thank you very much. Okay, I'd like for someone to read this to me, please. And it's there's a contrast between the writing and the plaque itself. Yes, go ahead. You read it to the group. Okay.
The chapter of the year 2017 is hereby awarded to the Redwood Inland Chapter for their outstanding vision, dedication, and commitment in working together to promote outreach and advocacy on behalf of people who are blind and low vision. Paired with city officials, chapter members conducted walkabouts in Santa Rosa to get everyone involved with making street crossings safer for blind and disabled pedestrians. As a result of their public support and chapter advocacy work, positive and productive changes are ongoing.
I just wanted to thank you. This means a lot to the chapter, to Redwood Empire chapter in Santa Rosa. And thank you very much for recognizing. It's a lot of work to do the walkabouts and get recognition, but we're glad to be able to help everyone.
Great. Yay.
I know. Vivian, did you want to say something about your growth?
I did. Okay.
The chapter growth awards.
The growth awards for the chapter that that has the most members, and the chapter that has the most percentage of members, we are going to send that out in the Blind Californian. So keep your eyes out. And we'll see who is the winner. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, hey, we're on a roll. So now we're going to go to the newly appointed awards committee. Everybody on the awards committee is serving for the first time this year. And Ken Metz is that chair. So we turn it over to Ken. Great. You're going to need this mic, Ken?
I got a mic for you, Ken.
Got a mic. Do you want me to sit next to me? Where should
Let me try and do this.
Where should we put Ken to sit?
I'm okay.
Okay. Do you need to set your braille thing down?
I might ask you to hold this one. Okay. You can hold it near me. Because I have to read. I'm going to do this first award sort of quickly because someone has to leave shortly, and I want to be able to do that. We have different awards. We're going to start out with service awards, and the service award has to do with people who've really done service, not only to the California Council of the Blind and the chapters, but also for blind people all over California. And so we take the best ones that we've gotten the recommendations for. We meet in a committee that included Anthony Signorella. I'll get it right. And Judy was on there as well. And we had Gabe Griffith. There was one more, was it?
That was it.
I'm sorry?
That was it.
Oh.
That was it.
Oh, okay. I just couldn't hear up here. Let me say that this first one is interesting because this is a person who... for the past 3 years has been working tremendously to improve the lives of blind persons who decided to use guide dogs as their mobility tool. She's been working hard, she's taken time from work, and she has worked with Margie, she's worked with Jeff, and the most important thing is she's worked with many of the different legislators in Sacramento. She has been so unselfish in giving her time, her ability, and her effort to earn this award. And I am going to say this. I wasn't sure if I would, but I am. When it comes to helping blind people throughout the state, we find out how well we can all work together when we have to. And our winner is going to be presented with an award for helping folks as a member of the National Federation of the Blind of California and their guide dog group, CAGDU, and she has been extremely competent in what she does, and we appreciate every bit of her help. And that goes to Ms. Shannon Dillon.
Yay! And then we want to hear from Shannon once we've read the plaque.
Where is Shannon?
Shannon, where are you?
Okay, I'll come to you with the mic, Shannon.
Thanks.
Of course, she was in the way back of the room. I haven't gotten enough steps today, guys. Okay, this award from the California Council of the Blind says Community Service Award presented to Shannon Dillon this 24th day of March, 2018. They got this one right. For her tireless work to improve safe travel and accessibility for all persons who are blind, using guide dogs for mobility by unselfishly working with legislators and committees regarding guide dog legislation in California. Would you like to say a few words?
Oh, my God. Wow. Well, thank you so much. I'm very surprised, and I appreciate it. And I have to say, I have loved working with Margie and Jeff and everyone on all the guide dog issues. They've been phenomenal. Margie and I have worked together a ton, and it's been a phenomenal experience. I know. Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Well, you're welcome. And, you know, folks, besides everything I said before, the other part is that Shannon brought a carload at a time down from, Eureka? Reading, I'm sorry. So it wasn't just her, but she was so magnificent in getting other folks to also realize the importance of our CCB guide dog bills. And we're so proud of you, Shannon. Thank you. Okay, let me explain very quickly, and I'm not going to take that much time. The service awards, as I said, I think you heard already what the definition is. Someone who just puts time in to really make a difference, and that's what's so important for all of us. Our next award, and I'll be glad to answer questions later for any of you.
I said service before.
Yeah, and this next one is still going to be, I'm going to do the three community service awards. And so this one, hold on 1 second, just so I have the right person and the right award. It is service. And also this person, 1 second, let me just, okay, is really works a lot with underserved folks in her area, and and she'll know who it is maybe when I say this, but she works with underserved folks in the Inland Empire, and it's covering Riverside and the area around there, and the surrounding area, and she has done a great job. She assists people, not only in her chapter, but at the senior center in her area, and she does a lot of work with her CCB chapter. She helps folks organize different programs. She helps folks organize different outings, and she's just a tremendous person, and I've really enjoyed being with her a few times this week and meeting her and talking with her a lot more than ever before. She was involved in helping us plan our Canes Across California Downtown Disney and Santa Monica trips and getting folks together. Christine Bailey. Yay!
Is Christine in the room? Okay, I'm coming to you. Miss Christine, your award says Blind Distinguished Service Award presented to Christine Bailey on this 24th day of March 2018, who for many years has been extremely helpful to people who are blind and low vision in the unusually underserved areas in the Inland Empire covering Riverside and the surrounding area. Christine also assists at the Senior Center at CCB chapter meetings and organizes field trips for community members who are blind or have low vision. Sincere thanks for a job well done.
Well, thank you very much. As far as the outings, I take
anywhere from 4 to 6 blind people to a movie and lunch once a month. And that's what we do on an outing. And then the other one is Braille Institute and Braille Club. I also help there with their choir and everything else. That's what I do. But I have to say, if it wasn't for my great-grandmother and my grandmother being a teacher telling me, you volunteer and love what you do, you are the person you are.
Thank you, Christine. Again, we're so proud of the work you do, and we heard a lot about the work itself, and you deserve it. Thank you. And that is a Distinguished Service Award for someone who does something within CCB, and we have one more of those to go. And this last one in service belongs to a person who lost vision while she was working for a long time. She began to lose her vision. She retired, and she raised a family. She began her second life after becoming legally blind, and she took her living skills instructions and became a living skills instructor as a second career. And she does, again, a lot of work. She's in the Fresno area, and she's a very popular person, I understand. Ralph Edwards isn't around, or he'd say, this is your life. but she also helps taking folks on hikes and different treks outside to get them out of their little bit of blindness pity parties every so often. And she's just an incredible person herself. It's really great to know that we have some fabulous people out there. And with this one, we are going to give this particular award when I find her. I've got it. And our person, yeah, I'm having trouble reading here all of a sudden. Distinguished Service Award goes to Jamie Gibson Barrows. I'm sorry. Jamie, yeah. There we go. You know, it's funny. And I'll say it while she's coming up, or while she's getting the mic. It's funny, when you get neuropathy, sometimes you can read something, and then all of a sudden, you just can't for a little bit. But anyway, Jamie, congratulations, and we're so proud of you as well.
Okay, thankfully, she was in the front of the room. Blind Distinguished Service Award presented to Jamie Gibson Barrows on this 24th day of March 2018, who was diagnosed with RP while working and raising her family, began her second life and became a living skills instructor in Fresno, as well as setting up hikes and a trek through Yosemite for members of the Fresno chapter.
Wow. Thank you. Very surprising. Lost for words is all I can say. I appreciate this, and thank you. Thank you for my chapter.
Thank you, Jamie. And again, we're so proud of you, and we appreciate the fact that you retired and gave your second career to us. Thank you. Our next person, wow, this is a tough one, I'll tell you, because this is our award for
merit.
Our merit award here, and we have three of those as well. And
two.
I mean, two. I'm sorry. Two. No, I was gonna give me one, but I won't do that. I have some lines later for Tommy as well, but that's okay. This particular merit award is someone. It's incredible how tirelessly this person has contributed to CCB. She has served as a CCB board member. She has served as a founding member organized our and revitalized our Contra Costa chapter. And I'm proud to say
that. Go ahead.
Well, that's the one I had first on here.
Go ahead.
Oh.
go back?
No. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Chapter. Hold on. Let me get back to my notes. Okay. And she's been treasurer of four affiliates. And as an active, she's also active member of the San Francisco chapter. And she, oh goodness, chairs our internet, our TOG operations group, the TOG group, and has done that since 2013. And how many more things could I say about this individual? But she's done a whole lot, and we present this award to Vita Zavali.
Okay, the Blind Merit Award presented to Vita Zavoli on this 24th day of March 2018, who has tirelessly and consistently gone beyond the call of duty through her contributions to the CCB by serving as a CCB board member, a founding member and organizer of the revitalized Contra Costa chapter, a treasurer of four CCB affiliates, an active member of the San Francisco chapter, as the chair of the Technical Operations Group since 2011.
Wow, I'm really surprised. Thank you, wow. You know, I came from the CSUN conference 10:30 Friday night. It was a rough work week, and all day I've been tired, but I'm so tired, So thank you, I just woke up. Thank you so much.
You see why we couldn't let you leave?
Vita, we are so proud of you, and that's even hardly saying anything because, and I'm going to say this for a minute, this person has helped us, and when I was president of Golden State Guide Dog Handlers, Inc., Inca-dinka-ding, she was so magnificent in always proofreading and checking letters and putting our corporate paperwork together so that we became incorporated with the state, and just a very intelligent and wonderful person and a big help. So, Frank, you may owe her a lot after I said all that. Our final merit award for this year is another incredible person who I've known for many years now, and this is a person who has contributed so many things to CCB since 2005. She has served as San Francisco chapter president. She has served as a board member of her current and earlier four consecutive terms, acting as liaison to, to the Blind Students of California. She has also been a member of several committees in CCB, chair of the Publications Committee, she'll know who that is now, since 2013, and she's going to be there for the rest of her life. And obviously, I'm talking about the one and only Linda Perrell.
Okay, so this award reads Blind Merit Award presented to Linda Perrell this 24th day of March 2018, who has tirelessly and consistently gone beyond the call of duty through her contributions to the CCB by serving as San Francisco Chapter President, President of Braille Revival League of California, a current CCB board member, and for her I'm tripping over it too, Ken.
For you want to read it on here?
For her previous three consecutive terms, the board liaison to the Blind Students Affiliate, a member of several committees, and the chair of the Publications Committee since 2003.
Wow. Hey, Linda.
Thank you, Judy, and everyone. It is my great privilege, honor, and pleasure to serve CCB in every way that I possibly can.
And again, my final congratulations, Linda. Couldn't go to a better person. I've said that a few times, but you know, it really does, it is meaningful, and it has a lot of meaning to what I say, because these are folks that work unselfishly, as I said earlier. These are people who give of themselves for the assistance to others. These are people who believe in others first, and then they put themselves up there and they say, well, okay, maybe I need a little bit of time, you know, a day or two, and I recuperate. But they never stop working to benefit our blind and low vision folks in California. And we can't do without them. And you know what? All of you have the opportunity to do it. And that's what's important. Thank you so much for allowing me to be chair.
Winning a raffle.
Okay, thank you. Oh, we're so proud of all of our award winners, and I want to thank the committee. Okay, now we come to Peter Pardini's favorite part of the evening. Peter, would you like to come up and do the honors? And let me, we've said it in the board meeting this morning, I want to publicly again thank Peter for his service for the past 8 years and for a previous set of three terms before that as our CCB treasurer.
Now, do you need me to move the mic? Can you get it? Okay.
Thank you very much, Judy and everybody. I really do enjoy my time with CCB, and I will continue to work for CCB. As you know, I'll do what I can to help everybody out. At this time, I'd like to invite all the chapters and affiliates who would like to make contributions to the California Council of the Blind.
Yes, I do.
If we can have somebody run a mic.
I think Pam is here.
Yeah, I got mine right here.
I got Pam right here.
Good afternoon. Good evening, everybody. This is Pam. I'm treasurer of the Greater Los Angeles chapter. And we decided to this year that we could do this to donate $1,000 to CCB, $500 to the general fund, and $500 to the scholarship fund. And so here's your checks. So enjoy.
Are there any more?
Yeah, we got one right here.
Hopefully I can do this right. Hello, this is Christine Bailey. Thank you for the award and the Inland Empire. We've been working hard. This will be our third year holding our White Cane Bowl-a-thon. Well, this year we decided to give California Council for the Blind 10% of what we've made that this year, which came to $180. We gave $100 for dining in the dark, and I have a check here for the office for $80 in my hand right now.
Thank you very much.
This is Lisa Presley Thomas, treasurer for the Fresno chapter. I'm also co-chair of the fundraising committee with Ms. Jamie Gibson Barrows. In October, we held a fundraiser. It was a book fair at Barnes & Noble. It aligned with Canes Across California. We did a walk down one of the busy streets in Fresno. We walked to Barnes & Noble, where we had a Blind Awareness Day. We had an information booth. We had Braille readers reading to children at book hour. We had Braille writers typing children's names in Braille, as well as having accessibility and technology equipment available for sighted individuals to see. So we decided to donate 100% of the proceeds of that book fair, which was almost $500. And in addition, our chapter added another $200. So we are donating a total of $700 to the state fund.
Thank you very much.
This is Susan Glass, president of the Silicon Valley Council of the Blind. And we donated this year. We are presenting $500 to CCB, $300 for the general fund, and $200 for the scholarship fund, as well as two door prizes. And we actually sent our contribution in earlier than tonight, but I'm just announcing it at this time. So there you have it.
Do we have any more?
This is Vita Zavoli, treasurer of the Golden State Guide Dog Handlers, Inc. Oh, you got it right. I love it. Okay. And we are very proud to give CCB $700 this year. Oh. And since I hate paper and I have to do it online, the check will be in the mail.
That's fine. Is there any other chapters?
Yes. Hi, this is John Glass. Actually, not a chapter, but I was back here. I am back here at the broadcast table, so it took them just a minute to get a microphone to me. Anyway, I wanted to let you all know that my wife Susan and I would like to give an unrestricted donation to CCB. For the best, which can be put to the best use as determined by the leadership, our contribution is for $10,000.
Wow! Oh my word! Thank you very much, John and Susan Glass. Boy, that's fantastic! Are there any other individual contributions that anybody else would like to make? Well, we do have one other additional. The Lily Perry Foundation donates $5,000 to the CCB Scholarship Fund. And I guess that, thank you all, the chapters and affiliates and individuals, for your wonderful contributions to the California Council of the Blind.
Okay, oh my goodness, I'm in tears. This really is so wonderfully appropriate. From the littlest gift to the largest, it all is meaningful because it comes from your hearts. Thank you. Now, I think we're going to end. So far as I know, the raffles are the last thing. Is that so far as I know? Okay. So where's my purse? I've lost my purse because I have the winning guide dog handlers raffle tickets.
You do not.
I put my purse. Thank you. So, guide dog handlers, are you ready?
Is it in the seat next to you?
Oh,
That's exactly. Oh, and champagne salesperson. You even got Steve to buy $5 worth.
That's a big one.
Oh, I found my tickets. Okay. I found the winning tickets.
I had a goal. Normally we have done 50-50s, and just because of regulations, we couldn't do that. So we have two $50 Amazon gift cards. So my goal was to sell twice the amount of those cards, and I managed it. Good. We sold $233. So I'm going to let Judy go ahead and pick this.
Uh-oh.
And she can even read it.
She has tickets. She bought tickets.
Well, she's going to read them with
the
other
hand. She trusts me. She trusts
her. I'll trust her.
That's okay.
And she can even read it.
That is so cool.
Because I couldn't.
No, that's true.
The winning number is 6622.
Oh, somebody in the back.
It's Linda O'Neill.
Linda O'Neill has it.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I mean, if she says
we'll
she has.
It. But then I have to have one more drawn.
Yeah.
Okay. So Linda Perrell, you
Linda
draw
Perrell
this one.
Is going to draw that one.
Well, you know, I bought one of these too.
Well, that's all right.
That's okay.
I did too.
So did I.
Let's see.
Probably.
It is 6603.
Woo! Who is that? Who's I? Charles Dickens.
Okay.
Yay.
Thank you very much.
Oh.
Excuse me.
How
what?
Funny.
Yes. Hang on. I think Vita wants the mic.
What do you need? What do you?
I just want to let people know. I brailled the code for Amazon on the back of the card so you can go online and do it yourself.
Oh! Who else has a raffle?
Students!
Who's coming up to do the raffle for the students?
Gabe and I.
Okay, Gabe and the oldest students of them all, Gabe and Artis. Lifelong learning.
Okay.
Okay.
Gabe's got the tickets, but we'll need somebody to read them to us. Okay.
Who should we have draw? Are you drawing?
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah. Okay, read the ticket. The first prize is the large print calendar planner. 7529. So if you only have three digits on it, it'd be 529. Is there a name on the back? There's no name on the back. We put names on the back of the people that couldn't be here. 529. Oh, somebody said they don't know what their numbers are. Can somebody read them for her? Oh, okay. Okay, it was the wrong color ticket.
Okay.
Blue ticket. Okay, we'll draw another one. Oh, somebody.
529?
Yes.
Somebody got 529? Okay.
Oh, okay, the next one is 662. No, this one's a red ticket.
Red ticket 662.
Okay. So Rosemary Chase? Wonderful.
Hey. Okay, what else you got, Artis?
Okay, the next prize is a large tote bag. Blue ticket. 634. 634. Who's got it? Who's the winner? Blue ticket.
You know what? We'll take any color ticket if it's got a 634 on it, don't you think? We don't seem to have it. Oh, sorry.
Somebody's having their ticket read. They're looking.
Someone needs help reading a ticket. Raise your hand. Okay. 634, we found it? Who's got it? Who is it? Nellie Emerson.
Okay, Nellie Emerson. Okay. The last one is the See's Candy.
Mine.
With the See's gift certificate. Depends if you like candy. Another blue ticket.
540
blue. 540. Charlene's got it.
Is that?
I'm coming Charlene, to your room, okay. Charlene. Yes, Charlene.
Okay, congratulations.
You know, the lady who sells so many raffle tickets ought to finally win something.
For who?
All right, ladies and gentlemen. So, did we have fun? Was this a great banquet or what? Okay, with this concludes our 2018 CCB Banquet. Good night, everyone.